Welcome to Playing Games with My Heart, a podcast where we take a look at the good, the bad, and the sexy of romance in video games. Whether it's a dating sim with an ooey-gooey love center, or an action-packed adventure with a little romance on the side, we're getting to the heart of each and every one. I'm your host, Addison Peacock, and it's time to click, click, fall in love. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Playing Games with My Heart. I am your host, Addison Peacock, and with me this week, I have a guest who is a game developer, a cartoonist, an animator, and an all-around very cool person. So far, we just met today officially, but it's going awesome. Welcome to the show, creator of games like Sare and Start Again on Itch. I have Adrienne with me here today. Hello.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me, Addison.
Oh my God, thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
We were introduced by one of the editors of the show, one iconic Val Patrone, also guest of the show, friend of the show, all of it. And, you know, we're here to talk games.
We're going to start vibing.
Yeah.
We're just going to start and have fun.
No rules, just vibes today.
Yes.
I would love to actually start off. Normally, I kick off episodes by chatting with people about like their background with games and particularly with romance games. And so I would actually love if you're down, not to put you on the spot, if you wanted to chat about your games a little bit.
About the romance games that I've played?
Yeah, and about the one that you made.
and about the one that I made, yeah. I'm actually more of a visual novels fan. Romance, like dating sims and romance novels, are not usually something that I play a lot of. Although I did start, like everyone else, I started with The Sims. the best dating sim ever made.
It's so true.
it's just dolls, but bass boosted, and you go, yeah, they move all on their own. This is great. Usually, I'm more of a BL, boys love dating sim kind of fan, just because that way I don't have to put myself into the game, and I can just watch some other fictional people have a world romance or whatever. And yet, from my own visual novel that I made, Sare, I still was like, you know, no, let's go all in. This is gonna the main character is gonna be a French girl just like me at the time. So I made the visual novel called Sare, and I made it during the Yuri Game Jam.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, a game jam that you take 2 months to do a Yuri game. I think that was all that was asked. It was just like, have 2 months, make a Yuri game, have fun. And this was my very first game. I knew nothing about programming whatsoever. It just seems like a fun challenge. And it's about a young girl called Arlette, and she is just living, just vibing in her greenhouse. And one day, a bee alien appears, and the bee alien says that she's gonna try to invade the whole world. And Arlette is like, "That sounds cool. I'm really, really scared. So would you like a cup of tea?" And then they just have tea, and then nothing really happens. They talk, and then the game ends, and it's just just nice story where very little happens, because first, I only had 2 months to finish this, and second, just because it's the kind of stories that I navigate towards, like the kind of romance stories. Nothing happens, just romance.
Yeah, just vibes. Oh,
just vibes.
I'm looking at the itch page for it right now, and I've had this on my two playlist for a hot minute, actually, because the art is really sweet, and I really like it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I went all out on the Chojo vibes, and I had to learn how to draw a lot of flowers for this, so that was, again, a fun exercise to be like, all right, how do you draw a rose?
Yeah.
What's a rose like? And so it was really fun to just add like all those sparkles, all those flowers, just embrace it.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate the the features on the itch page. It's you've got the two characters. You've got Arlette, an awkward girl who likes plants more than other people. And then is it Owaxa?
Yeah.
A bee alien conqueror of planets who's not very good at it. Flower facts you probably already know. And a budding romance?
Question mark, exclamation point, question mark.
I love something I've really loved as I've gotten deeper into the visual novel and like romance game space, because let's be real, there's a ton of overlap there, is how many like kind of wonderful little like projects come out of these game jams.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
How many of my favorites started as like even just like the demos for like some fuller games I ended up playing, like started from game jams, having that like time limit and having to just like crank something out and you know, follow your heart really fast like that. I think it produces really interesting work, and it also forces you to not have time to second guess too much, I think. Am I right in that? Like, you just kind of have to do it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's just like, you have 2 months, you have to do it. You have to finish it as fast as you can. So you can't really spend a lot of time thinking, all right, what kind of main character do I want this to be? And what's their entire childhood? It's like, no, you don't, you can't go into this right now. Just go, all right, I'm just picking basic dating sims archetypes, and then there we go, let's just go for it.
Oh yeah, also really quick, I just clicked over to the Yuri Game Jam 2017 that this was entered into, and so many games that I love came out of this jam. I love that.
Really?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Love on the Peacock Express, it's a mystery game on a train where you date elves.
Yes, that was such a good
Which
one.
Hits.
Yeah.
There's also one I had played before as well called Blooming Nightshade that I really liked. Kind of slice of lifey. There's a lot of really cute stuff. I love that. That makes me happy.
A good year for Yuri games.
It's a good year. 2017 is a fine vintage. The lesbian content is particularly fragrant this year.
Full body and everything.
Oh,
yes.
Full body indeed. And I'm getting, I'm so sorry. Speaking of, actually, and I love this because the game we gathered to talk to about today actually was created for a jam as well. This one was created for a 2015 visual novel jam. I don't remember specifically which one. I'm trying to pull it up.
And NaNoWriMo, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was NaNoWriMo.
Yeah. I was so close. I'm thinking of the fanfic one, maybe.
Yeah, you got it. It's basically the same deal. It's a month long, November, like get a thing together in a month jam. And it's so funny because we were trying to come up with a game to chat about, because I wanted to talk about, you know, obviously very rare, like so far haven't had many people on the show who actually make games, particularly visual novels. And so I wanted to chat with you about that, but we also wanted to find like a game we could both play to discuss. And then you were like, oh, I played this game at one point that I remember really liking called Cute Demon Crashers, and I lost my mind. Because I played that, like, probably one of the first dating games I ever played, I think. Like, pretty early into my interest in the genre. Because it came out in 2015, so yeah, it would have been right around then when I was in college and just sort of, like, in my spare time.
Dipping your toes.
Yeah. I had played a game called Soul Set, which I like and we'll do on the podcast at some point. That's like a kind of fantasy mystery with some romance elements. That's a visual novel. Ooh. And I just started like dipping my little toes in, and then I Googled and I was just kind of like, oh, like what new like dating sims are there? And this one just popped up, and it kept popping up because there were all these little articles about it. Particularly an article that I really liked about it. This came out in 2016 from Kotaku that is titled A Sex Video Game That Always Lets You Say No. And I was like, what is this? This seems really lovely. Oh my god. Sorry. The world is folding in on itself because I'm looking at the article. The creators of Cute Demon Crashers, the developers, SugarScript, they are also the creators of Yuri Game Jam.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Everything is just, oh my god!
Yeah,
the world is so small.
Everything is connected. Everything is connected. The world is folding in on itself.
My poster of all the red thread, everything is connected!
That's why I just had a moment in like real time. You heard me just see.
Oh my god, that is That's really cool.
That's really funny. Oh my god. That's really funny. I well, that's bizarre and I'm thrilled. And then they also oh, this is on my list. They funded a game that was last updated in 2021. I hope it comes out at some point, called Caramel Mochaccino. That's
vaguely rings a bell.
Yeah, it's a visual novel. It's a girl-boy or girl-girl romance visual novel where you like where the main character works. It looks like in like a coffee house. It looks cute. Anyway, I got distracted.
Oh, that looks lovely. That looks lovely.
It looks really cute.
Yeah.
So what happened with Cute Demon Crashers is that they actually originally weren't able to get it done in time for the full game, in time for the end of NaNoWriMo, but they ended up releasing what they had, which was they just had the roots for two of the characters. They had the roots for Mirari, who's the one female love interest, and for Aki, and they just were like, okay, this is all we have, but like we're proud of it, so here it is. And people liked it so much that they kept working, and they did end up releasing the full game.
Yeah, and I saw that thanks to that, they managed to add some voice actings for it as well, which is really, really cool for them.
I'm looking at just the page for it. And, you know, I might as well just read from the page for Cute Demon Crashers to give the audience at home an idea of what the game is. And then we can chat about our personal experiences with it.
Yes.
So it's, first there's a little, like, kind of blurb. Says, while university students are out enjoying themselves, Claire, I think you can change the name, is stuck at home and having spring break blues. After wishing for a fun fling, she suddenly finds herself in the company of four sex demons.
Oh my god!
Three incubi and one succubus, to be exact. Maybe spring break won't be so boring after all. And
then the trailer starts.
Yeah, exactly. And then the little descriptor they say they have here is they said it's a silly little short game that gives a lazy college student a fun and safe space to explore her first sexual experience with a partner of her choice if she so desires. In our team, we felt there was a need of consent in 18+ visual novels for women. Very, very true. And
yes.
This is the perfect excuse to make a game to fit those needs. And I love that. They're like, we focus on short and fun story instead of developing a longer love story. So this is really, it's an intimacy game, but not as much a romance game. There's no, like, proper, there's no, it says right here, there's no loving gazes and no declarations of love. However, all parties care for each other and are very loving, gentle, and compassionate. And then the keywords that they wanted to use for it were cute, silly, super short, safe, and vanilla.
Which, perfect descriptor for this game,
yeah.
To be also completely fair,
because this is still a podcast that, like, people that I know listen to. I won't go into explicit details of the game, but, like, there are some options that are veer a little bit away from vanilla territory. But anyway.
I saw some of those.
Yeah. So I'm really curious, because I've been monologuing a little bit, but, like, how did you find it, and what made you want to play this game when you discovered it?
I honestly can't remember how I found it, but I think the same with you, where I must have seen an article or something when people in some circles started talking about it and saying that this was, oh my god, a dating game, like an erotic game when you don't actually have to go to the erotic parts. And I was like, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
And then started playing it, and then just, you know, it's those kind of, you know how sometimes you play a small indie game that no one knows about and then it changes your whole life?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And so this was kind of this game where I played it and then I experienced it and I was like, oh my god. Oh my god, this whole time. So this was that game. I think that because the way that this game works is that it starts, you meet this your main character that you can choose her name. Her name is Claire, if you don't decide to choose her name like I usually do. And then you meet all of the love interests that you have, and then you can spend a little bit of time with, and then they go, you have to you can choose one of us at the end of this of this little game, or you can choose none of us. But also, we're incubi, so wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Maybe choose one of us, but it's fine if you don't. But also, we're sex demons.
Also, wink, wink, also, nudge, nudge.
but also, you don't have to. Yeah. And then we'll go, like, no matter what happens, we'll go away. We'll get out of your hair, and then everything will be fine.
In the meantime, however, we are gonna just live in your house.
Yeah, in the meantime, however, your parents aren't here and we're just going to stay here and then maybe cook for you and help you do your chores. Yeah. And it's just like, oh my God, is this, oh my God, such wish fulfillment.
Okay, but like really though.
Yeah, and they don't even mind. They're just like, you know what, I'm just going to help you do your laundry. And you're like, oh my God, but also don't.
Like, are you hungry? Do you want food? I made food. Oh, shit.
I saw that your parents gave you, like, this long list of chores that you have to do while they're not here. We're going to help you out with that. And it's like, okay. I'm good already. Thank you so much. And so you can spend some time with them. I believe you have three occasions to spend time with one of them. So you don't, I know that you can't actually spend one specific hangout with each of them, which is too bad.
Yeah.
How can you choose? If I can't have my quality time with each of them, I can't make a reasonable choice. But you can choose to hang out with each of them, get to know them a little bit, and then after three hangouts, they go, all right, choose. And you can choose. So the characters that you can choose from, you have Aki, which is the inexperienced fire boy who is very new at being an incubi. He is very cute.
Yeah, he loves like video games. He's usually in the living room playing your video game console.
I think he spends the whole day, like some of them move around, but he's one of the ones that doesn't move even a single bit, I think.
Yeah.
He's just like, no, I'm going to stay here playing video games. You want to teach me how to play Mario Kart? And he's like, yes.
He's like, listen, I'm a demon. I don't need to sleep or eat food. I'm just going to play video games for like 36 hours.
I have never been to the human world. This Mario Kart stuff is amazing. It is, little guy. It is.
Right. He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. He's perfect. He's really cute.
I love him. Their designs are all really very quite fun, too.
Oh, yeah. They have really, really great designs. So that's Aki. You have Mirari, which is the girl. The way that a lot of dating sims do it is that you have the single gay option. She is the single gay option. thank you so much. But, you know, I don't mind. It's great. Thank you so much.
I love
it. Great gay option.
And continuing the trend of, like, not to keep making ties to your game, but as the one gay option, she also likes to be in the garden outside and looking at the plants.
That is true. So, that's so true.
Lesbians love plants.
Yeah. Seeing things bloom, everything. Yeah, exactly.
She's usually outside and usually in the garden with the plants.
there we go. That's what she does. She's also the ones that kind of kickstarts the whole story because she sees that you're like, oh my God, I just really want to go, like, have an experience with someone right now, a sexual experience with someone right now.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh,
she's like, okay.
Do you? All right, listen, I am tuned in right now. I am going to get right in here. Hello. Here me and my free friends. Choose.
Literally.
So very nice of her. Very, very.
The facilitator. I love her.
She's great. You have Kyle, who's the gentle big guy.
He's the one who cooks food.
And he's the one who cooks food, and his titties are fully out, unlike Aki, who are kind of hidden, like tastefully hidden. No, this guy's just like titties
full out.
He's great. And then I was kind of worried when he was like the cooking guy, but actually he does get an apron that says "Kiss the Cook."
Yeah.
So he can protect his assets, and you know, very, very good.
Keep him safe.
I'm very happy. Keep him safe. And the last one is Orias,
yep,
I think.
My man.
And
I'm fine.
And since I replayed the game so we could have this podcast, my very first playthrough, I only talked to Murari because I was like, she's so cute. I love her so much.
Oh, yeah, she's so cute.
I will only talk to her and no one else. And then I had my big emotional experience with this game. And I was like, I don't need to replay this game. I got what I needed out of it. So I didn't know any of the other characters until I replayed yesterday because I didn't get to hang out with them. But now, yesterday, I hung out with some of them.
Yeah.
And I found out that Aureus, which I thought was just the kind of cold guy that you have to follow him a little bit, to kind of get to know him.
Yeah, he's the bookish one.
He does look like the bookish one. And then I learned that he was also kind of the freak in the sheets.
Yeah, he is.
Guy. And, I was like, oh yeah. I get the appeal. I understand.
Yeah, no, he's like, yeah, he's like, he's got his like books and his like cup of tea. And then if you're like, I think I would like to go all the way with this fellow. He's like, okay, tell me what you're comfortable with, all that good stuff. I do have a penis piercing. I will melt some candle wax. What are you up to? What are you into? I'm like, oh shit, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Because when I hung out with him once, he was like, all right, listen, this is what I'm into. I just need you to know what I'm into, because in case you decide to choose me, I would rather you know what I'm into.
I'm like,
and he's like, okay.
Like, okay, hello, what's up? I also, as like, especially as a youth, I was like, what? This came out 2015. I was like,
yeah, college. I was in college when this came out.
Yeah. I was like, he looks like an elf prince. I want to know what his deal is.
Yeah, he does. That's true. Like, the four of them have horns and they have like this cool fantasy look. Mm-hmm. But he has both, like, two of them have long hair, but he has long hair. And also looks like an elf.
There's a difference. He looks like Legolas. Like, he looks like Legolas.
He does. yeah, and so you get to spend time with those four lovely people. And then they go, all right, the portal that we came through will close at midnight. So, and right now it is like early evening or something. I don't remember the times. It is early evening. We have a few hours. Decide who you want to spend time with tonight, and you can and you can pick either one of them, or you can decide, actually, I know you guys are sex demons and everything, but I'd rather not spend time with any of you.
And
if you do, they just go, all right, do you want to play Mario Kart? And then you play Mario
Kart. They're like, it was nice to meet you.
Yeah, it was nice to meet you. We didn't do the our whole thing as sex demons, but you know, we discovered Mario Kart and we had a very good time. Thank you for having us. Bye. We did all your chores. It's very sweet. And again, wish fulfillment. You just have some gorgeous people come in here and they go, all right, did your chores, played Mario Kart. Bye. We'll see you later. And then if you do pick one of them, I picked Murari. The primary really cool gameplay thing of this game starts, which is that the erotic scene starts, and whenever you goddamn want, you can say, I'd like to stop here.
Yep.
And then it just stops.
Yeah.
No, but like, it's so mind-blowing to me.
No, but like, it's so nice. And I have seen a lot of the games I've played in like recent, like there are some more recent like romance visual novels that came out in the last like year or couple of years. Oh my God. Can I get through a single fucking episode of this podcast without talking about them? There's a developer that I love called Lunaris Games.
And I was just listening to one of your podcasts where you just went crazy about them.
I can't stop talking about Lunaris, but something I love about them. And again, not that they were literally directly influenced by Cute Demon Crashers, but I think it was the first game I played that did this. But they kind of carry on that tradition, and all like the kind of intimacy stuff is extremely customizable. In fact, actually, one of their games that's almost finished, it's been releasing episodically, Errant Kingdom, which is like a high fantasy game, has specifically options for romance routes that are like, you can sort of click different dialogue options for like a more sexual romance route or for an ace romance route.
Oh, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so
and
good.
Have like, they have two characters in the game that are explicitly, one is demisexual and one is ace. And that, like, I love seeing, like, we're getting more and more of that, like, kind of customizability and the, like, be as...
I'll always lead to the same place.
Yeah. And, like, or you can... they also have options built in for people who are a little sluttier, like me, who maybe, like, they're like, what? Do you want to... They're like, do you want to wait to have sex with this love interest? Or do you want to do it right now? Yeah, literally. Yeah. They have one. They're like, do you want to sleep with this guy under a waterfall, or do you want to wait? And I'm like, click the button.
Under waterfall? Sign me
like,
up.
I'm like, click the button.
Yeah. And this was like the very first game, I think the only game that I personally have played when this whole thing about around consent and around intimacy, mm-hmm. and around where do you want to stop and not being shamed for it, you know, because it does feel like that if it happened in some romance games, if you were like, actually I'm good, like, oh, I have three options, continue enthusiastically and saying no is the wrong option, you will not get the true ending if you do this.
Yeah, and then they're like, yeah, exactly, and then they're like, oh, I guess you want the bad ending.
You want the bad ending where you didn't put out. And it's like, but but my comfort. And so for me, so the thing with me with romance games is that I don't like to see myself in romance games. It just makes me super uncomfortable. I'm just like, oh God, I don't want to be in this. Are you kidding me? And so that's why I navigate more towards main characters that don't have anything to do with me, whether it's about gender or history or that kind of stuff. And so, when I see a romance novel where you have a woman main character who's white skin, who's a brunette, and that kind of stuff, I'm like, oh no, she's a basic self-insert. No, I'm gonna have to put myself in this. And already something that's different about the main character of this game is that she has eyes. You know, you can see her eyes, and I was like, okay, she's not full self-insert.
No.
I can see her eyes, so everything's gonna be okay.
I like that metric. I can see her eyes, so everything's gonna be okay.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of Mystic Messenger. And
oh man, fair. I gotta do an episode on that one.
Oh my God, yeah, it's such an amazing game for a lot of reasons. But
That game is wild.
It's so wild. But the main character, you can choose her her profile picture, if I remember correctly. You can choose some meme ones, but I think the one who's her actual picture, or maybe in CGs or something like that, you don't see her eyes at all.
And oh, so God.
Just because, you know, it's like shadows in instead of her eyes, and it's kind of like, are you maybe you are playing this game, maybe you have blue eyes, we don't want you to feel outside of this game by not having the right color of, like, this isn't exactly it, but this is kind of it. We're just like, no, you have to be able to put yourself in this character. We're not going to show any part of this character that is different. And so for this game, I was just like, okay, well, I can see her eyes, but she's a brunette, so I'm going to have to get ready to put myself in this game, and I'm not going to like it. And so, of course, I start playing the game, and I'm like, oh my God, she's lazy, just like me. Oh my God, we're like the same for real. So it was fine. But then when the erotic started happening, I'm so into this that I'm just like, oh, I don't want this. And then, thankfully, there's the button to say, I don't want to be in this situation. I click the button. Mirari goes, no problem at all. Let's just cuddle for a little bit. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. I don't want to be in this situation. And she said, it's fine. So that was a big crying moment for me. Especially because at that moment, I was kind of, struggling with my sexuality, as we do. And I was wondering if I was maybe asexual. And so having this moment in the game where it's like, maybe start discovering stuff about yourself. Are you okay with this situation? And I'm like, no! And they're like, no problem. And it's like, okay! I'm okay! Everything's fine! So that was those kind of games where I'm like, okay, well, it's fine if it's a self-insert character in a romance game. Just this once.
Yeah, I love that. I was going to say you got to it on your own. I was going to say you mentioned having an emotional response to it. And yes, we talked about it a little bit off mic. But, like, I'm really happy to hear that. And I love seeing, like, I think it's a really important part of sex-positive interactive media is, like, it being positive toward the having and the not having.
Yes.
The emphasis on the choice is really lovely. And I was, you know, on a very opposite end of that, spectrum, still, like, taking a lot of comfort in this game when I played it for the first time. At the time that I had played this game, I was not a virgin, but I was, like, still not really sure what I was interested in or what I wanted, and still kind of trying to figure out, like, I don't think I'm straight. I don't know what's going on. I like boys, but I don't always just like them, as we, I don't know. And I was playing this game and I just kind of clicked on it because I was like, oh, the art is really cute and it sounds like fun and sexy and silly. And yeah. Then I was playing it and I was like, and it was like, it's just this incredibly, like, lovely, safe space in which to navigate this stuff. And having Mirari as an option, this was, like, again, like, one of my first, like, dating sims I ever played. And since then I've noticed a lot of, like, otome games are like, here's all the boys and the one pretty lady, and now and for that I am grateful. But I was like, I, like, not made myself, but I remember, like, I played, like, I think Arias's route first because he's, I mean,
yeah, oh, of course.
And then I was like, and then I was like, who do I want to, like, I want to keep playing this, who do I want to, like, interact with next? And I was like, I don't think, like, Aki's not really my type, and he's lovely, he's not really my type, and I don't know, like, about the, like, and Kyle seems nice, but he's not really my type. I was like, I'm just gonna see, what's her deal, what's she up to, what's she like, what's going on? And it was just the night, like, one of the first times I really, like, in a conscious, like, exploratory way, like, dipped my toes in, being like, I don't know, how do I feel about women?
How do I feel about this right now? Yeah.
And I had dipped my toes in a little bit in, like, real life spaces too, but it always been sort of like kind of heat of the moment, or like sort of impulsive, or like doing that, like, closeted college girl thing where I was like, I'll kiss girls at parties, but it's because I'm drunk. And I'm like, no, it's because you're queer. But
yeah.
Anyway. So it was just, yeah, it was like this, I'm really grateful for it and for other similar games to, they create this, like, it's like a fun narrative, and, like, it's silly and it's fluffy and it's like, it's like popcorny, but, like, it also really is, like, this kind of, it's therapeutic.
It really is therapeutic to just be able to explore it on your own time, and there's nothing else going on, so you don't even have to worry about, oh my god, it's the end of the world in this game, so I also have to save the world, and here it's just like, no, they're just here during your break.
The stakes are not that high, and that makes it such a nice little just a sweet little treat. It's like, the stakes are not high, nothing bad will happen, like, there's no wrong choice, it's just do what you want and see what happens. And I think that's really nice.
Yeah, and something that I also really like about this game is that again, you don't have that many chances to hang out with them before you have to choose one of them, so in theory, you could hang out with three of them during the hangout times, and then pick the fourth one, and they will not react whatsoever. Like, they will just be like, yes, of course. So even the act of the hangouts, which usually would be a nerve-wracking moment, because it's like, I need to figure out who I have to hang out with to amass the perfect number of romance points.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I get
God.
The true ending and not the bad ending because I didn't hang out with this character and didn't give him the right gift at the right time.
Oh my God, though, I feel that.
Well,
my stats weren't right. Like, stat-building romance games stress me the fuck out.
Yeah, like, they're really interesting, but it's just hell.
I'm like, well, I didn't read enough books, so I guess I'm gonna die.
I guess I'm gonna die. I'm not gonna finish my exams, and I'm gonna be homeless for the rest of my life because I didn't.
Literally, I played a game. I talked about it on the podcast, but Backstage Pass. I played where I was so like, you're a college student during it, and I was so scared that I was gonna like get a bad ending because my stats got too low that I just like focused really hard on like my studies and like my extracurriculars, and then the game ended, and it was just like I had a boring year at college.
You studied too much at college.
I got a boring ending. Not a bad ending, not a good ending. I had a boring year. And I think about it a lot.
Just so stressed out that it's just like, no, I'm just going to stay in my room and study.
Yep, no plot happened to me.
No romance. I'm not going to go out and meet people. I have to study to make sure my stats are high.
Yeah, literally. Because I've been burned before.
Yeah.
My stats got too low.
That's how those games work. I have to make sure that my stats are high enough to pass my exam so I can continue this whole story.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. So it's just, you know, I'd say the whole game probably takes, like, depending on how many of the routes you try to play, I'd say the whole game probably takes, like, 30 minutes, maybe an hour, if you play, like, a bunch of the characters' stories through.
Yeah.
So it's, like, you know, it's shorter than a lot of the games I cover on this podcast, but it's also very important to the history of this podcast existence.
Without it, there would be no podcast.
Literally, though, I really don't think it would. I think it was the first time I was like, oh, video games can be this.
Video games can change my life?
Yeah, video games can be just like, just a fun, sexy time.
can be touching and touch my heart.
Yeah. Like, seriously. I really didn't have a lot of access to a lot of games. Like, I played The Sims as a kid, but at other people's houses. I didn't really have a lot of computer games even as a kid. So I just sort of, like, spent a lot of my life just sort of tangentially aware of video games and not really, like, interacting with them. And then college is where I sort of started to play with it a little bit more. And then I was like, I don't really like shooters. I don't really like a lot of action per se. I've opened my taste up a little bit now, but
so I don't like shooters, so I don't like any video games.
Yeah,
that's how I was before. Yeah, it's just like, oh, I don't like Call of Duty, that seems so violent, so I just don't like video games at all.
Exactly. And then I, you know, there's a whole big bright beautiful world out there, and I was like, oh, never mind. I actually turns out games are good.
Yeah, exactly.
Cute Demon Crashers. Sometimes games are good.
Sometimes games are good.
That's the tagline. But, oh my god. This has been on my list to talk about on the show for a long time because of the fact that it was the game that launched a thousand other nights of like staying up late playing visual novels. So.
Yeah. I'm glad that we got to talk about it then, because that was really one that I threw out there, like, oh, it's one of the romance games that I played.
Yeah.
I guess it's important.
No, I know, and that's what kills me is I know you didn't even think that hard about it. You were just like, oh, I like listing games, and then I was like, wait, what was that last one? What did you say?
Should we play the game that lasts like 20 minutes? Yes. Let's talk about this for an hour. Let's go.
The thing about it is, yeah, if you follow your heart, see how you feel. But like, if this is one of the games that I'm like, it's free. It takes like 30 minutes. If it's something you think you might want to check out, then do it. It's pretty explicit, but it's only as explicit as you want it to be. Like we've been talking about, I don't know, you might get something nice out of it.
You might find out more about yourself, or you might not, and you know.
And
even if you don't, it's a good game.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice little game. And I like knowing that the developers are working on other stuff. I don't know what happened to it. They haven't officially, like, announced that it's not happening, but, like, they had a couple years ago announced a sequel to the game that was a Boys Love version of it, but then...
I literally just saw that this morning, and I got really excited, and then I saw the latest update was, like, 2017 or something, and I was
it was
like, no!
The last update I saw was from, like, 2019, and I'm like, oh no! But it does look like the developers are still making stuff, so, like, maybe they'll come back to it. they never, like, officially, like, it's not like they've disappeared. So since they haven't officially been like, this isn't happening, I'm kind of hoping maybe
they might be just working hard. As a game developer myself, I know that I've been working in my little corner for a few months, and I'm like, I promise I'm still working on it. I'm just in hermit mode.
No, I totally get that. That is the one of the hardest things about being, like, an indie game stan the way that I am, is, like, I have so many, like, very anticipated releases that I'm like, I get very sad because I'm like, it keeps getting pushed, but like, I'm also like through clenched teeth, just like, make all the time you need, because I'm like, I understand.
I know it's hard, just take your time.
Yeah, literally, I'm like, I want to play it so bad, but I understand.
Take 10 years, I'm ready to wait.
Yeah, literally, I have a game that I've been waiting for that was going to come out in 2021, and then it's been pushed to this year, hopefully to this year. This game, In Blood, that's like a kind of horror romance mystery one. I played the demo and I loved the demo so much, and I was like, and I just was so into the demo, and then I followed the developer.
No news.
Well, I follow the developer on Twitter, and she was like, basically, like, toward the end of 2021 was like, hey guys, I'm still working, I'm sorry, please be patient, thank you. And I was like, I will be, but
yeah, the game dev curse.
It's real. But so, you know, what I'm saying is, I've learned patience. I've learned to push through the heartbreak. So, yeah. You know, if SugarScript also, you know, if they've decided they don't want to make it anymore, that's also fine. But, you know, if SugarScript, if you're listening to this, I support you.
We're waiting for it. I've been waiting for it for a whole day now. Yeah. So I can wait longer.
Yeah, if and when Q Team and Crashers Side B comes out, we'll be here. We'll be ready.
We'll be ready for sure.
You mentioned you're working on a game right now. Would you like to talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, of course. So I'm working on a game. I'm not allowed to say the title yet, but it's the next game in the series of my Start Again games. Almost a year ago now, which is crazy, I released a game called Start Again, Start Again, Start Again, a prologue, because I love really long titles in video games.
Hell yeah.
Kingdom Hearts 2.0, whatever, blah, 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 like that kind of stuff. So Start Again, a prologue is all about the main character called Sifrin, who's stuck in a time loop and is very depressed about it. That's pretty much it. just being very depressed in a time loop on your way to try to save the world, but you can't beat the final boss, so you're just depressed about it. And so I'm making the next game in that series right now. I'm working on it, I promise. I know I haven't posted about it, but I'm working on it. It's gonna be great. I'm really excited to show it off when I can show it off. I can't show it off right now. I'm excited to show it off when I can show it off.
Please wait. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm looking at the page for Start Again, Start Again, Start Again right now, and it
does. You can just say Start Again. It's faster.
It's fair. Okay, I am looking at the page for it right now, and the art, and like I said, the art looks really, really cool. It looks really awesome, and it looks really different from anything I've ever played. So.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I had a lot of free time during the pandemic because I was working from home, mm-hmm. and I was very bored in my home all the time.
As you do.
And, you know, just seeing the same walls every day just kind of made me feel like I was in a time loop of my own. So I was like, you know, there's a game there.
Oh, hell yeah.
There's a game to be done with this feeling. And so a lot of it is just, you know, using RPG tropes for my own evil ends. And some of the parts is just me putting all my feelings about the pandemic and putting them in a fantasy way where it's not like you're stuck at home, but you're stuck in the final dungeon.
I love that.
So it's different.
That's so awesome. And if people want to check out your games, where can they find them?
They can find them on my itch.io page, which is insertdisc5.itch.io. And you can find me on social media of your choice at insertdisc5 as well.
Hell yeah. I just want to thank you again for coming on the show. It's really nice to have you. And like, I always get really excited to talk to folks who are actually on the creative side of things in the game space. So
yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God, of course.
Thank you. I was really glad to talk about a game. That meant so much to me.
I love games.
I love games.
thank you so much. And if folks, please go check out Sarah, check out Start Again, and, check out all those beautiful socials. And thank you all for listening so much. It's nice to have you guys back, and it's nice to be back making games again. We're in February. We're in Valentine's Day month, so technically this podcast should be at the height of its powers. I didn't really think about the fact that Valentine's Day was a thing that was happening anytime soon, because I don't think about the holiday very much in general, but oops, here we are. It's happening.
But it's the perfect time. Again, yeah. The stars are aligning in a lot of ways in this podcast right now.
Everything is illuminated. And so thank you all for tuning in. It's nice to be back in your podcatchers, in your ears once again. And thank you so much again to Adrian for joining me. And as always, folks, don't forget to follow your heart.